Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey! It's your girl POC. Welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. I'm coming live right now on timefornawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timefornawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to tune in. You can go to either the website or you can download the app and just search Time for an Awakening. You'll hit Meet Your Girl POC live on your airways, blessing your airways each and every winning Wednesday here on Revive from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure you guys tune in, spread the word. We are live right now from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can also give us a call. We try and get these callers up here on Revive. So definitely engage with us tonight. Tonight is the night, 215-490-9832. Once again, that hotline to call is 215-490-9832. And you know we got your girl Tab Money coming on tonight. Your girl Tab Money will be on with Tab Money Habits coming around 8:35. So make sure you guys tune in. We're giving away some free Revive gear to whatever question of the day that Tab brings out. If Tab going to pop a question today. Tab going to put that question out there, and we want you guys to call in so you guys can win this free Revive gear. You try to free up yourself, you try to make sense, you try to be a student of the universe, you try to choose greatness. That's what we're gonna give you guys today here on Revive, some Revive gear, man. We putting out that message on our brand. We are living brands, me and your girl Tab Money. We are pushing this Russell brand movement each and every day, so make sure you guys support us here on Revive. Once again, give us that hotline bling tonight, 215-490-9832, or you can hit us up on both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Once again, that is Revive_POC. Make sure you guys follow us right now and subscribe to that beautiful newsletter. It's about to come out this week. Harmony puts together a newsletter for us each and every month. It comes out once a month, and I know you want to stay in the loop. And how you do that, all you got to do is subscribe. If you go to timefornawakening.com/revive and scroll down to where you see that big word that says subscribe, go ahead and click that link. It's going to take you directly where you need to be in order to subscribe to that newsletter. So definitely subscribe to that newsletter. Harmony takes her time to put that together, and I know you guys want to read it and stay in the loop. But guess what? Your girl True Heart in the building, man. She off her hiatus. She back to back. Yeah, she back to back. I'm just saying, OVO's fine, as you know what I'm saying. October just ended. Today's the first day of November. You got your girl True Heart in the building holding it down. How you feeling today, True Heart?
I'm feeling good. I think that honestly, truly, we always say that like the first of the month is like a rebirth. The first of the month is just like you just got to take over the month. So I'm feeling charged up. I'm ready to go. I'm just setting my goals for November, and honestly, truly, I'm just ready to crush the rest of 2017, because if you crush it, you'll be already ahead of the game in 2018.
Already, yes, I already feel you. I was born on the first of the month, so every first of the month, the first thing that goes in my head is wake up, it's the first of the month, wake up. You know, everybody got them checks, they got them food stamps out there. I know they living better. Let me get a stamp or three, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to eat good like y'all, but you know what I'm saying? If you want to pass me a couple stamps this month, definitely hit me up at revive.poc@gmail.com. We taking all kinds of donations, you know what I'm saying? So definitely, you know what I'm saying, hit me my email right now at revive.poc. But yes, shout out to all the first of the month babies. You already know.
Shout out to Scorpio season. Hold it down, y'all. Hold it down.
I mean, my mom a Scorpio, so I'm with you. My mom's birthday in the month of November. We about to celebrate all month of November. So definitely shout out to my mom. She a Scorpio, so I feel you on that one. I'm only going to give you that because of her. Other than that, I'm not feeling it at all. And definitely, I want to give a shout out to my best friend, Seven. It was just her 25th birthday this past Monday, so I definitely want to give her a shout out as well. Shout out to Seven. Happy birthday. I hope you have a great, great Earth Day birthday, and I hope you celebrate too, girl, the way you want to. Definitely. Yo. It's the first of the month, True Heart. It's the first of the month. You said you're setting your goals for November, right? What does that mean? Like, what are you setting for yourself for this month? Like, it's 30 days in November. Like, what you about to accomplish in this next 30 days in November? It gets real. It's crunch time. It's fourth quarter. Who you passing the ball to, or you keeping the ball to yourself for the oop? Like, what you doing?
So, I've decided that I'm going to commit to physical activity at least 3 to 4 times a week. I didn't say the gym, y'all. I said physical activity. So that could be bike riding. I could shout out to my bike. I got a bike for my birthday. I'm so excited. So I'm about to break that thing in, go bike riding around the city. Anybody want a bike ride, let me know. And then I just need to get through this semester. School is taking over my life. So my main goal is just to finish strong in school and honestly just prepare. Just prepare for December and making sure that I have everything that I wanted to accomplish in 2017 that I'm accomplishing. Anything that I didn't accomplish just yet, just move on over to do list and goal list and just put it on 2018 and keep crushing. How about yourself, POC? What you got up your sleeve?
I'm just trying to stay booked. I actually put my affirmations out on Twitter today, man. Definitely. I was like, yo, I got to stay booked all weekend. I was about to say all weekend long. I got to stay booked all month long. Every weekend for the month of November, I got to stay booked. Like, it's important that I have something on my calendar, yo. Because I've been doing it since June. I've been booked since June, right? But then November came and I looked at my calendar. I was like, oh, we looking a little slight. No. I got to stay booked all month. So it's my duty to get back in the vault and definitely go pull some tricks out of my bag. Definitely, I got to stay busy all month of November. No days off. As Tab would say, no naps. I'm trying to make sense each and every day. I got 30 days. For the next 30 days, I got to make sense each and every day I wake up. I got to max out on the minimum so I can definitely make some sense this month. And then December, man, when December kicking around, I'm in full throttle. I'm already on January and December type mindset. You know what I'm saying? I got so much planned for the month of December that I kind of skipped over November. So that's why I'm saying, like, I got to get back. I was like too far ahead. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking no leg days. What Jay-Z said, no, he was taking too many leg days off. So yes, I gotta get back in the vault because, man, it's too much going on. Did you see what happened with Wendy Williams yesterday? Yo, is she overbooked? She said she was overheated because of the amount of the makeup and costumes and the light, and she passed out on her show yesterday. I can't even fathom that idea, like putting on a whole show. You know what I mean? She said it was 12 minutes left in the show. So she already, you know, killed the whole hour show with the costume on, everything, lights and everything, and she just went down tumbling. But the way that the whole thing played out, the whole scenario, how it played out, was just like real questionable. You know, like, did she have a stroke? Did she have a heart attack? You know what I'm saying? How did she pass out? And then some people even was playing her like, yo, this was a joke. Like, she just pulled this like publicity stunt. She just passed out. You know what I'm saying? How she come right back if she passed out? 50 Cent made a whole joke about it. I don't know what's wrong. Her and 50 Cent got some kind of beef, but 50 definitely went in on Instagram talking about how she passed out. Like, what did I just see? You know what I'm saying? That was like the funniest thing I ever saw. But it wasn't funny because she did, you know what I'm saying, go down. So it definitely wasn't funny, but it was endless memes out there that I can definitely say were creatively funny. You know what I'm saying? Some people got to take a joke. Some people really take, you know, people memes and people jokes and comments so seriously. Like, it's social media. You cannot get mad about what people say on social media. But definitely, that was one of the questions that we posed on Twitter as well. So the poll is still going. The question we posed on Twitter is, do you think her passing out, referring to Wendy Williams, so do you think Wendy Williams passing out yesterday on her show was a stunt, or do you think it was real? Go ahead and go to our Twitter right now at Revive_POC and vote. I want to know what you guys are thinking. It's right now, it's a lead saying that it just might be a stunt. 50% people saying it was a stunt right now. You know what I'm saying? Then you got another 42% of people saying that, you know, it was real. So we got to figure it out. We got an 8% saying maybe. So So shout out to all the 8%. Like, yo, I gotta stay neutral on this. I like Wendy, so I ain't trying to sway away from the people that I like. What about you, True? How you feeling? Like, you think Wendy just pulled a stunt on us, 12 minutes to spare in the fourth quarter? Or do you think it was like, I do got a lot going on? But my thing is, like, yo, like, if you keep claiming, like, I'm a 53-year-old woman, I fail, no bruises, no broken bones, all of this is like, why at the age of 53 you still trying to do, you know what I'm saying, things that can hinder you and your health and everything of that nature? Like, so the question also lies on you and your team. Like, so what's up? Like, what are you doing outside of the show that you're not making sure that you're able to stand up for an entire hour with a costume on? And the costume was literally just like a robe and a crown. She was like, what, the Liberty? She was the Statue of Liberty. So it's like, how heavy could that actually be? You know, so, and how heavy is your makeup? Honestly, if you're going to blame it on the makeup and put it out there and say it was the makeup, how heavy is your makeup? Like, we want to know, you know what I'm saying? Because we seen your beach body, you know what I'm saying? We seen you in that bikini. So it's like, yo, like, what are you doing over there? Like, how are you taking care of yourself? True, did you see the diaper she was wearing when she was in Barbados?
That black bikini you talk about? No, Wendy, that it's just some things you just gotta let go, and that's one of them. She looked, I'm not gonna say she looked a hot mess, but it just wasn't the most flattering bikini, should I say. You have to always keep it politically correct, but we could talk about that in the parking lot.
Shout out to that social work degree you about to grab, because you really just finessed your way out of that joke. All right, cool, that was a good one.
Thank you. I'm learning something. I'm learning something. But in regards to her passing out, I talked about this earlier, and whether it was real or fake, I wouldn't necessarily be able to make that call, because I wasn't in the studio, I wasn't in a live audience. But to me personally, I will hope that it wasn't fake, and I honestly hope that she does get medical attention, because I found out that she has thyroid disease, and she also has Graves disease, and sometimes with medical conditions and different things like that, that does have internal effects on the body. But I don't think that it was fake, and if it was, she needs to, I'm not necessarily going to say she needs to come out and say it, but she should be held accountable for her actions, because at the end of the day, that's not cool. Because if she does have these diseases in her body, you never know what that can, you know, be leading to. So at the end of the day, if it was fake, she needs to come out and address it. But I do think the way that she was on the chair, the pink chair today, and she was crying and different things like that, it was a lot. But I think that we can't take away from the point that Wendy Williams is so dramatic. She is so dramatic. If you think about her show, if you think about when she was on the radio, she is very, very, very dramatic and such a
great
drama
point.
Queen.
Great point.
So it's just like, we can't just negate the fact that she's dramatic. If you was falling, if you passed out, but I don't think that they should have came back to the show. 6 minutes commercial is long, and granted, it was only 12 minutes left in the show, but at the end of the day, it's just like, yo, like, go sit down. You can't just tell me you need electrolytes, fam. Like, you can't just tell me that. But I hope that either way she is okay. Somebody just said that I think she genuinely fainted, to be honest. Watching how she started breaking down physically made me think of an experience I had very similar when I was pregnant. I nearly fainted on a train, and when I went to the ER, they explained I was super hydrated. It's scary as a sugar honey icy.
That was a good way to play it off too. And yes, it can happen. Don't get me wrong. It can definitely be something that happens, but you have to understand, like, Wendy Williams is not just, you know, your average person. And I'm not saying that it's okay for your average person to pass out either, but I'm just saying, like, she has an entire team around her. How could she not, you know, have water? Why is she doing a whole show without drinking water? Like, why are they not making sure she's hydrated at all times? She was saying that she was missing some electrolytes. So I'm like electrolytes. So I'm like, yo, like, I don't get it. Like, I just don't get it. I mean, yes, prayers to her. Like, I'm sending all my prayers to her. I want her to survive, you know, black woman in media. I'm with it all the way. But at the end of the day, it's just like, it's a lot of things that I would question when it came down to how it went down. Cause it's just like, how you gonna blame it on the costume? If anything, just don't blame it on little things that we know, just not, you know, just my head's gonna ask 101 questions, you know what I'm saying? And then how she tried to because if I watched a little bit of her show or a clip of her show today about how she was talking, like how you said she was sitting on the pink couch and she was talking, she even brought in like how she even tried to bring up how Al Roker passed out one time on his show and all. Like, I was just like, yo, why you gotta call other people out? Like, we're talking about you and your situation. And then she also called on to one of the people who work in her studio to validate her story, to validate her situation. Like, but I'm a trooper, I'm a champ, I came back out here and I did the show. I respect her for doing that. Definitely I respect her wholeheartedly for getting up and saying, no one else is gonna finish my show, I'm gonna finish my show, cause that's some type of time that I'll be on too. But I just want to know what you guys are thinking. If you think Wendy Williams, you know, faked it till she made it, you know what I'm saying, as Philly Jesus, shout out to our guest on this past Monday, he said faith it till you make it. So I'm with that one too. So if you think she faked it till she make it, or she faked it till she make it, I want to know what you guys are thinking. Go ahead and vote on our Twitter right now at Revive_POC. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Revive_POC. And then also give us a call. I want to know what you guys are thinking. 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. And I also want to get into a little bit of this Tyrese scenario, y'all. Like, this story is crazy. Like, this man is on, like, Facebook Live, like, just crying hysterically, like, just crying his, you know, his eyes out because of the situation that's going on with him and his daughter and his ex-wife. His ex-wife is pretty much trying to pretty much just say she doesn't want him around. Like, she doesn't want him around at all. Like, she's trying to take full custody, and then she's trying to get a restraining order on him. She already has a restraining order on him right now, but she's trying to get like a permanent restraining order that he just cannot come around at all. So he's just like, yo, like, this is killing this man inside. Like, he's going through so many different things. You can see like his emotional state just like on a roller coaster, like up and down. Like, one minute he's happy go lucky, the next minute he crying, the next minute he just going on rants on any kind of social media. And I'm just like, Is this okay? Is this healthy? And then it's like, it's like, because I watched one of the clips as well. I watched his whole video where he did on Facebook Live, and he was saying that we don't see his plea. We don't see, you know, what he's going through, because you're not in the courtroom, because everything in the courtroom is private. So we don't get to see what's going on. So him telling us is the most that we know, other than, you know, the story that came out. He was abusing his 10-year-old daughter, Shayla. Yeah, he beat her, and she made a comment that my daddy beat me so hard that I can't sit down. And that's how it all started. So the mom, I think it's Norma, I was about to call her Naomi. Norma, she came out, he said September the 11th, she came out and was just pretty much like, yeah, Tyrese did X, Y, and Z to my daughter, and I need full custody of my daughter, and I do not want him around. That's wild, Troy. And he's fighting for like all the good fathers. Like, his fight is like, yo, I'm a good dad, like, I'm a good dude, and you're gonna take the word of somebody else but not take the word of me. And then he's saying like, I'm going broke in the process of doing all this. $13,000 a month in child support, like, I can't even fathom. Like, oh my god, $13,000 a month. People make that a year. People are working to get $13,000 a year. People are waking up and going to 9 to 5s for $13,000 a year, and this woman is getting $13,000 for child support each and every month. Yo, True, how you feeling about that?
I really think that, one, certain things need to be handle in a private matter. He is a celebrity, don't get me wrong, and with celebrities, things are going to be highlighted in a public eye. But by the same token, I honestly think that Tyrese needs some help. He needs to go see a counselor. He needs to go see a therapist, because he is going through a mental warfare. He is going through an emotionally taxing process. The fact that he even thought that it would be okay to beat his child. I think she stole money from her piggy bank, and he beat her until she couldn't sit down in the chair. No, that is, to me, that's wrong. To me, that is, I work in child welfare, so to me, that is technically child abuse, because why would you even feel it necessary? You are a grown behind man. Why would you feel it necessary to beat a 10-year-old little girl? You could have taught her a lesson by yelling at her, teaching her the importance of spending, teaching her the importance of saving, excuse me, not spending. But at the end of the day, I definitely think that he needs to talk to somebody. He needs some help. And him crying and different things on social media, you know how Black Twitter is, you know how Shade Room is, we're just gonna ridicule him. But we are gonna send up our prayers and our good thoughts. I just hope that everything works out for the best, and at the end of the day, if he wants to be a good father and he's learned his lesson from this, then let him be a good father. There's too many inactive dads in children's lives now. And if he wants to be an active one, let him be an active one. Just at the end of the day, he needs to learn his lesson as well.
I mean, yeah, but that's not like I don't think that that should be a way for a person to learn his lesson. Like, what kind of lesson is he learning by losing his daughter? You know what I mean? It's time.
No, I'm not saying that he should lose his daughter. I'm saying, like, everything that he's been through, he's probably learned his lesson thus far. Taking custody away from him is only going to drive him furthermore insane, for lack of a better term. It's only really going to torture him. If he's going to be an active dad, if he is already an active dad and she loves him and vice versa, why would you say, you know, you can't have custody of the child and different things like that? Don't get me wrong. Parenting doesn't come with a manual. So he probably thought it was just like, I'm the dad. I have to be the, you know, be the protector, but also, you know, teach her right from wrong. But at the end of the day, there's limits and there's boundaries. So I don't think that he should lose custody of a child. But as a, I'm not a mom yet, but I am a godmom. And from the mom's perspective, I kind of understand where she's coming from too. She, her well-being of the child is the most important thing. But hopefully they'll be able to come to a consensus outside of the public eye and really come together. At the end of the day, it's not about Norma or it's not about Tyrese. It's about Shayla. So you need to do what's best for Shayla.
Yo, it's so much backstory to it that people have to understand too. Like, people just see what's going on right now because that's what's being talked about. And also, I'm going to respect Tyrese to the utmost for crying, like, in public, honestly, truly. Just, yeah, we did see him, definitely. But I'm definitely going to say I respect Tyrese for crying in public, because most African-American men don't think that it's okay to even cry. So the fact that he cried in public, I respect him for that, because that means he is showing that he really cares. He really loves his daughter. He really, you know, truly, truly, truly did not do anything that they're saying he you know, is he has done. So that's I'm not saying that I don't think he did it. I don't know the story. I'm not in the courtroom. If I knew the story, definitely. But I did my back research and definitely just looking into everything. Yo, the Norma, she's not even a citizen in America. She and Tyrese got married just so she can become a citizen, just so she can get a green card. So that's not even something that people are even talking about now. Like, let's just think about it. She wasn't even a citizen until they got married. Then they got divorced. When they got divorced, Tyrese got full custody of the daughter because of the, you know, the state that he's in financially. Then Tyrese gets remarried and now has, you know, has another woman pregnant. And now all of a sudden, all these allegations come up about Tyrese and abusing his daughter. So you know what I'm saying? You got to play the whole story out to really understand it truly. Like, it's a lot of skeptical reasons of why she would say what she said. But we definitely got a caller on the line. So I want to get to this caller real quick to see what they got to say. What's good, caller? You're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from? What's up, caller? How you feeling? All right. So, but that's pretty much what I was saying. Like, so he has so much backstory to it. So why he will feel the way he feels. And he also called out, like, his billionaire friends, pretty much saying, like, I helped you guys when you were in a situation. So why are you guys not helping me? He's saying, like, he's going broke trying to pay lawyer fees and court fees and all this other stuff. So it's hurting him to be in this situation right now. And then you got to tie in the whole drama with him and The Rock. Yo, I subliminally put that sweatshirt together because I, like, try to analyze everything. You got to understand, the sweatshirt says Shayla Rocks. And then he has a whole beef with The Rock. I'm like, yo, did he put that on there subliminally to, like, you know what I'm saying, still throw shots at The Rock at the same time while he talking about his daughter? Like, it just makes me think real, real, like, out there. I'm like, yo, this man is real clever with it. Definitely real clever with it. And then did you see the faces he was making when he was crying? He was like, yeah, I'm ugly. I got that ugly. Yo, he was, oh my God, bro. I was trying so hard not to laugh while I was looking at it. I was like, yo, he's dead serious right now. He's dead serious. But yes, shout out to Tyrese. I hope everything works out with him and his family. Sincerely do. But he gotta chill with The Rock. Like, he gotta chill with The Rock. Like, how you gonna get mad at The Rock because The Rock gonna get a check? Like, that's supposed to be your brother, that's supposed to be your pal. But he mad because they pushed the Fast and Furious 9 off another year. So by they pushing the Fast and Furious 9 off, that's messing with Tyrese's check. So now he can't feed his daughter. So he talking about The Rock, like, yo, now your daughters, at the end of the video, did you see that? He was like, now your daughters are gonna have to suffer too. I'm like, what? Who does that? Like, who does? You're corny for that. That's what makes him corny. That's what makes the situation played out, you know, in the wrong eye, because he's now doing other stuff other than just talking about his daughter, because now he's calling out The Rock. The Rock went on social media, I think it was like Twitter or Facebook, and he was just like, yo, did y'all hear that Black Rose album? Did y'all hear that Black Rose album? Yeah, it was doo-doo. It was doo-doo. I would never listen to that again. That was trash. I was like, yo, so they really got beef. Like, they're really beefing right now. Yo, True Hot, who you think gonna win, The Rock or Tyrese?
Can I do no comment? Or no. No, if I put them both in a ring, I'm definitely gonna say The Rock. I just want to put them both in a ring. But at the end of the day, I feel like for clever things to say, I'm still going to say The Rock. But I love Tyrese, though. I was just at his concert losing my mind in February. But I definitely think that you can't throw rocks at a glass house and don't think that you're going to disrupt something. So at the end of the day, he came for him. And at the end of the day, you never know why Dwayne Johnson or The Rock postponed the movie. And Tyrese should just be a better businessman and save his money. Like, save your money. You made so much over the years. Just save it. Just because the movie was pushed back, I don't think that should hurt your pockets that much.
Well, he's paying the lawyer fees and the court fees. Like, so somebody said, this is, don't air quote this, and I don't even think that this is a valid source, but I'm just going to say that he's paying, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars for his lawyers to try to get his daughter back. And then you got to think about the alimony, and then you got to think about the child support. Like, all of that is just weighing on him. And then his already the lifestyle that he already was living prior to all of this happening. So all of that is just what's adding up. So that, I think that is where the whole I'm going broke things coming in. And then I don't think the Black Rose album did that much. But to answer your question, the reason why The Rock pushed it back is because The Rock has a spinoff of Fast and Furious. So The Rock was going to get a check regardless if he did the Fast and Furious movie or if he did the spinoff. Either way, The Rock was going to get a check. So he decided to go with the spinoff, because by going with the spinoff, he will now be the star of the movie. It will now be based on The Rock's character from Fast and Furious. So the whole cop that he was playing in Fast and Furious, it will be based on that situation. So Tyrese, like, yo, where do I play it? Like, where do Raymond play it? You know what I'm saying? Raymond wanted a check too. He out here feeling like Raymond Noodles, you hear me? So he ain't a little upset. So he a little upset. Yes. So I do want to know what you guys think about that as well. Like, are you feeling what Tyrese is out here doing? Tyrese being corny, Tyrese is whack. What you think? And then I want to know a little bit about his family situation too. Like, do you think him, you know, putting himself out there in the public eye, crying and pleading his case about what happened with his daughter is not true? These are all false allegations. I want to know what you guys are thinking. I definitely want to know what you guys are thinking. We do got a call on the line, so I want to jump to this caller as well. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, I'm Chip. I'm calling from Florida.
How are you tonight? How you feeling? Thank you for supporting. How you feeling?
Not too bad. I was on Twitter, and I just seen all this stuff that's going on with Tyrese and the custody battle. And, like, that man, he's calling out for help, bro. He's
calling out for help.
I feel so bad.
So do you think... Do you think he's doing it for attention, so he can bring more, you know, attention to his case, so people can be more on his side? Or do you think he's, like, just all the way done lost it?
Personally, there was one point where I thought he was really doing it for the social media shits and giggles. But now I think, like, he's been, like, blacklisted and blackballed so much by, like, the people around him because of the way he was acting. Now he doesn't have anybody to turn to. So now it's, like, all I have is social media. So I feel like he's just looking for whatever help he could get, advice, money. I don't know. He's broken, man. He's broken, though.
Do you see that the beef between The Rock and Tyrese going anywhere off of Twitter or off of social media? Do you think that that's just going to stay on social media, or do you think they can take it a little further?
I don't think the studio is going to take that seriously. And on top of that, I don't think The Rock is really going to respond, like, I don't feel like he's going to respond to that in any type of, like, off of social media way. Because, I mean, the way Tyrese did go about it was type childish to be a grown-ass man talking about, I'm not going to go to class if he's going to class. Like, I can't do that when you're an actor in Hollywood. Like, that's crazy as fuck.
I get you. Thank you. And I do agree with you. The Rock was going to get a check either way, so he don't really have to respond at all, because regardless, he's still going to get paid. Definitely. I agree with you. Thank you for calling and supporting. I appreciate you. Spread the word. We're live right now.
Oh, yeah, you already know, man. Go look.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with that caller. Like, regardless, The Rock about to get paid. So it's like, I don't even care that much to, you know what I'm saying, respond. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to let everybody know it's your album trash. And I'm just going to walk away and put my shades back on. Real live, man.
Helmet. No, that Erica, but he went on tour with Erica recently. He gotta live off them little concert checks or whatever. But it wasn't even his concert. He opened and then Erica came on, and that was all the way back in February. So that money might be gone.
Definitely. And one last thing before we go to this quick commercial break. I knew we gotta go to commercial break. Yo, just think about it. Every group that Tyrese gets with, he always has a problem. It's always an altercation with Tyrese. I love this man, don't get me wrong, but he's always in some type of altercation. Remember when he tried to do the group with Tank, Ginuwine, and him? He was the reason they broke up. Tyrese was the reason, because Tyrese thought, you know what I'm saying, he was Beyonce or somebody. So they broke up because of TGT, right? Yeah, so they broke up because of Tyrese. Tyrese didn't know how to be in a group. So Tyrese doesn't know how to work with people. Maybe he should just say, you know, stay by himself and figure it out. He need to listen to the song that he made, Stay. He need to listen to that song.
Maybe he need like some team building exercise or like conflict resolution exercise. So we're gonna help you out, Tyrese. We're gonna help you out. The Revive team need to come and do some team building with you, because, or conflict resolution, because you need it. Like, you need it, bro. It's okay. We're gonna get through this.
He definitely need a hug, and I will be the one to hug him. I would definitely grab that little ball head. You already know. But yes, we better go to a quick commercial break. Right after this commercial break, we're going to be up with your girl, Tab Money, here on Revive. It's the Winning Wednesday. Make sure you guys call in 215-490-9832. We want to hear what you guys got to say. And you already know Tab about to pop the question here on Revive. And if you want to win some of that free Revive gift, make sure you guys tune in. Yep, you know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Every 45 seconds, a black man enters an elevator, and some stupid white bitch clutches her purse for her dear life. Now, you might not think we notice, but we do. And while you think you're protecting yourself, in actuality, you're provoking a savage attack. The small step to the side, your subtle death grip on your belongings. It makes me want to snatch that fucking purse out of your hands and beat your racist ass to the ground. However, I'm not going to do that. But I'll tell you what I will do. Boom! Dumb bitch.
I am an alternative high school student.
An alternative high school student.
An alternative high school student.
I'm an alternative high school student, but I'm cool.
But I'm not dumb.
But I'm well educated.
But I'm not a dropout.
But I never gave up.
I didn't quit.
But I am ambitious.
I set goals and I reach them.
I face challenges.
I face challenges and I'm motivated to get my diploma.
I face challenges, stepped up, and became more focused in school.
I re-engaged myself in school.
And I will graduate.
I made mistakes.
And I'm correcting them by getting my high school diploma.
But I'm graduating August 2016.
I'm an alternative high school student from West Philly. But we're not like other schools. It's the difference between us and other schools. We come together as a community. We here to make things better, make things brighter for our future and other kids. And I'm just one of them kids that's trying to make it better for y'all as well.
Nicotine, cadmium, benzene, ammonia, arsenic, formaldehyde, hydrogen cyanide, carbon monoxide. These are just a few of the 7,000 chemicals that can be traced from cigarettes. Tobacco-related deaths are expected to rise to around 8 million annual deaths worldwide by the year 2030. Put down the cigarette and don't be one of those people.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
Yes, 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 yes. We are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, it's me, your girl, POC. I'm blessing your airways each and every winning Wednesday here on Time for an Awakening, man. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every winning Wednesday. And you can catch us each and every Sunday for the Sunday edition of Revive, that morning talk radio, that good morning talk. Wake up with me, your girl, POC, around 11 a.m. each and every Sunday morning. But we about to go live with your girl, Tab Money, tonight here on Revive. Tab Money got that money, y'all. Tab Money got that money, y'all. Get ready. Yo, Tab, what it do? What it do? How you feeling, Tab? How you feeling, Tab?
What it do? What it do? What it do? Peace to everyone out there. Peace, love, and light. How are y'all today?
We good. We just out here planting these seeds, man. We just out here planting these seeds. Tab, when the last time you put a seed in the ground?
Hey, that's every day.
That's every day.
I'm awake. I just see you on the ground.
Hey, how was your day today, man? Tell the little people how your day was. Tell the little people how your day was. Tell them.
Hey, my day was awesome for real. I got a lot of work done. Got some work for myself done. I am tired. I'm not going to lie. Them no naps. They catching up. Like, I got to make it all the way to January, but they catching up on me right now. And later today, like, the our brand is going up on CVElifestyle.com, so I'm, like, super excited.
That good old November 1st launch. Make sure you guys go to CBElifestyle.com right now. Click that link to purchase that Revive Russell Brand CBE gear right now, Tab. Tell them how they can find that once again, Tab. How can they find that link?
CBElifestyle.com.
And they got everything they need, whatever they need.
Click shop. That's that easy.
Bet. It got the link going. That website going to take them to everything they need and everything in between.
Yes, you already know.
Already. Yo, Tab, I told him you was going to be popping that question tonight here on Revive for this free Revive gear, Tab. I need you to go ahead and pop that question. And once again, that telephone number is 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. And you can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC.
All right, so today's question of today is, what did I have in mind? Because I had two questions. I'm going to see which one I'm going with. I'm going to just go with, because I was trying to make it easy or hard, but I'm going to go with my medium question. What medium. Is a debt to income ratio? The question of today is debt to income ratio. What is a debt to income ratio?
Ooh, that's a spicy one. Everybody should know that.
I need you to walk around knowing that.
I'm about to say everybody needs to know that.
There's a definition to it. I want you a definition, and then once we get the answer to it, we're gonna go into a little bit depth and how it applies to our individual personal life.
What is debt to income ratio?
Yes.
What is debt to income ratio? And everybody who got student loans right now should know the answer to this question, man. We need all the drums rolling right now. That's what I'm saying. We need all the drums rolling. Like, everybody should be calling in. Bling, bling, bling. Because we all got student loans. You hear me? Tab, jump into this Tab Money Habits tonight.
All right. So today, I just wanted to talk about family savings. Because, again, all of the segments leading up into this holiday season where we spend a lot of our money, I want to talk about how we can save a lot of the money that society has conditioned us to spend. Like, literally, if you think about it, every month there's a holiday where we just spend money. And now that the Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming, this is the time when, even for Black Friday, this is the time when retailers, producers, sellers, they market to consumers and buyers such as ourselves.
That Black dollar.
To raise up that demand.
$1.3 trillion.
Yeah.
That spending power, $1.3 trillion.
So I'm at least trying to cut it to at least 1.2 this year. Like, it's going to make no dent. Maybe like 1.2.7 or something. Like, they're not about to get all of $1.3 trillion this year. So, yeah, that's my goal. So, we're talking about family savings. So, I can talk from personal experience because me and PLC did have the pleasure of getting our family. It took tooth and nail, but we finally got our family on a plan where we are individually putting into a family pot every month somewhere between $50 and $100. So what I'm asking
shout out to the
guys
PFG.
To do, our listeners to do, is that I need you to get your immediate family together. So immediate meaning the people who live in your household or your brothers and your sisters or your mom and your dad, even if it's just one person, I need you to come together and decide what is feasible for your individual lifestyle of how much you can put in the pot with your family.
Yo, Tab, we got a call on the line. Let's see if this caller got the answer for us. Yo, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, my name's Drew. I'm in the Germantown area.
What's good, Drew? How you feeling?
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you, ladies?
We good. We bless you on the show.
Awesome.
How you feeling, though, Drew? How you feeling? How was your day? Before we get into the question, I want to know how your day was.
Today was really interesting. So I built a lot of character, some character that I didn't think that I needed, but here
awesome.
We go. I am a better game planner now, and I think I'm really resilient because of today. So yeah, today.
Drew, as you talk about character, we were talking about Tyrese earlier and how he was, you know, showing a little bit of character too on Facebook Live. You know how he went with the crying because, you know, he's about to lose his daughter. Do you know a little bit about that?
Yeah,
man, tell me a little bit about how you feel. I want to know your opinion on that. Before we jump into the question, tell us a little bit about your opinion on that.
I thought it was always crazy when I think it's always crazy when people are crying on social media. I think that, like, you should dedicate a really heartfelt post to something, right? Like, say Facebook or like whatever, but like, I don't know. I think it takes a lot to like turn on your camera and like front face it and then cry on it and talk and post. I think that's just odd. So those are really that's about all I've thought about his circumstance.
I love
you know,
it
I guess
though.
When you have children, things might be different, but yeah.
I love your honesty because it kind of was odd. It made a lot of people a little, you know what I'm saying? Do you think, and last question I got before Tab to jump back into her question, all right? Do you think that it is okay though for, you know, men of color to jump on social media and start crying and express their feelings and things like that? Do you think that's okay? Like, do you think it's okay for black men to do that?
Yeah, by all means. I think that it's, like, hella toxic to not, you know, let your emotions out. Do what you got to do for you. And if that's your way, go for it. I just think that, I guess me being a reserved person, doing things like that publicly is just kind of odd for me. But by all means, yeah, black men should definitely start to embrace one another, hug one another, cry if they need to, all that.
All that good stuff. I'm with you on that one. Yo, Drew, I just asked you all that just so you can forget the answer. I was trying to distract you. You still think you got the answer?
I might. I don't know.
Yo, Tab, go ahead and ask him the question.
All right, Drew, I need to know, what is a debt ratio?
A debt to income ratio.
I'm calling, right? I think it has something to do with, right, the amount of debt that you already have under your name, and, like, the difference between how much money you have coming in based off of your day job.
Yes.
That is correct.
Wonderful.
Go Drew.
That's super exciting, because that's what I really want us to understand walking around, is how much debt have we accrued. So whether it's student loans, car notes, mortgages, any other type of loans that you have out there, over top of how much income we are bringing in, whether it's from your employer or if you're an entrepreneur and you're bringing in your own money from whatever services or products you're producing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need to know, because that is going to affect how we are able to buy houses, which will further come down into play. And, yeah, that's buying back the block. So that's my purpose of asking that question. Drew, I just want to thank you.
Congratulations.
For participating and even being hip.
Congratulations, Drew. Woo! You just won that free Revive Gear on Revive.
Congratulations.
Shout out. Yo, Tab, we got to make sure that we get Drew his prize, man. We got to make sure we get Drew his free Revive Gear.
Drew stays on the line so we can get his contact info.
No doubt. Thank you, Drew, once again.
Keep up the great work.
No doubt. Thank you for supporting, Drew. Spread the word. We live right now.
Gotcha. Yo,
Tab, first caller. One take Drake, as you say. One take Drake.
You already know how I like it. Let's get it done early. But, yeah, so that's really what I want everybody to understand. It's going to be, you know how my segment is, the question of the day is going to lead into the next segment. And I look, like I said, I want to, or like POC said, that each and every one of us is walking around with student loans. So we have some debt to income ratio that we need to get to apply to our lifestyles, regardless if you don't have a car note, regardless if you're not paying bills or have a mortgage, or regardless if you don't have any credit cards. If you went to college, you have some student debt loans, debt to income ratio out there, and I need you to figure it out.
If you got a car, you got debt to income ratio. If you got a credit card, you got debt to income ratio.
You got car notes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So let me put that on. If you got a car note, you got debt to income ratio. If you're paying a credit card bill, you got debt to income ratio. Like, it's so much that plays out to it. You know, if you go buy a flat screen TV for $200, knowing that you only had $69 in your account, that TV is a debt to income ratio, part of your debt to income ratio.
Yes. And that's what a lot of people do. I even noticed, like, a lot of friends and family, this is the time where they go out and get a loan just to afford Christmas shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So that's improving debt to income ratio.
Yo, what about the people who go, because, you know, we're in that age now where all our friends, you know, starting to get married and things like that. Yo, what about those friends who jump out there and go get a loan just for the wedding? Like, what?
Hey,
I never thought about that, but I never thought about that. Like, people really, like, in my mind, you know, like a birthday party, like, if you just don't have it, you just got to make it do what it do. You got to finesse it kind of, sort of. But, like, with a wedding, people really try to live out those Gucci and Keisha kind of weddings, knowing they don't have no money. They living in a one-bedroom apartment, but their wedding costs about $75,000. Like, I would never understand that.
Definitely. I don't understand it either, but they be doing it just, like, going into, like, could we being programmed by society. We're being forced by our perception that it's not our own. And, yeah, I feel like we're peer pressured into doing things. And we're peer pressured into debt. That's what, I'm going to leave it like that. We are peer pressured into debt. They tell you to go to college, and there's no guarantee that you're going to go and get a career or a job that you're going to pay back the debt. They tell you to go get married and do the same thing. Oh, the daughter, parents, or family is responsible for paying for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you want this big, extravagant wedding. So guess what? Now we need this extravagant loan to pay for the wedding. And, like, we're just peer pressured in so much stuff. Even when in college, when I got to college as a freshman, there were so many, when we had vendors set up around the college campus, most of the vendors were banks trying to solicit kids to sign up for credit cards. Knowing we don't even understand financial literacy, knowing we don't have a job to pay back that credit card every month. So it's just, like I said, we're being peer pressured into.
But look, though, Tab, look at this spin on it, right? As you mentioned, the whole college thing and how vendors set up, you know, banks set up and things like that to pretty much lure, you know, the youth in to spending money that they don't have, right? Picture being lured in, racking up credit, you know, over thousands of dollars, and then having to pay back student loans. So when you think about graduating and walking across that stage, that's the most, you know, happiest day of your life. But as soon as you get to the other end of that stage, you got 10,000 people calling you after left and right, right after you walk across that stage, because you were not knowledgeable in your 4 years of college, 5 years of college, however many, you know, years it takes you. You were not knowledgeable enough to know that those refund checks were literally still part of a student loan. It wasn't a check for you to go blow on a car or some shoes or whatever you need to do to keep up in the semester. It was money that you were supposed to kick back. So a lot of us don't understand that. So we get bamboozled, like you said, in so many ways. So when we cross that stage, we got about $75,000 of student loan debt, and then additional $4,000 to $5,000-$6,000 in credit card debt that we not even hip to until we cross the stage.
And the most important thing is that's so true, and that's the peer pressure again we were talking about. But the reason why that I'm bringing awareness to debt to income ratio is because this will come into play, like I said, when it's time to get a bigger loan, not a huge loan, but a big loan for a house. So I was actually inspired. This question was inspired by Krista earlier today because she called me inquiring the house, and she was just getting a scramble around, like, Tab, I've been talking to all these lenders, and they're giving me the run around. I've been talking to all these realtors, and they're giving me the run around, and I'm trying to figure out why am I not qualifying for the right amount to be able to, that my income says I'm supposed to get. And the first thing that came to my mind was your debt-to-income ratio. So if your debt-to-income ratio is greater than, let me start off with a good debt-to-income ratio that most mortgage will qualify you for, it's 43%. So if your debt-to-income ratio is 43% or lower, you have a great chance of buying a home. But a great debt-to-income ratio is below 36%. So that's what I need everybody to walk around with, to know, like, is my debt-to-income ratio 60%, 90%, 43%, or is it where it needs to be at, anywhere between 36 and 43%.
So if you got a good percentage of between 36 and 43%, 36% and 43%, you are someone who is going to be able to qualify for a loan, for a mortgage, for a home.
Yes.
And anything above 43, are you about to cry? You about to be in your feelings? Like, what's up? What happens if you pass 43, though?
So if you pass 43%, you get the runaround, like Carl Chris is getting the runaround. Lenders would say, oh, I don't know if you're going to qualify for this much, or, oh, I don't know if you should go ahead and try to seek out a loan for this, because they don't know if you're going to be able to pay back the loan. Then you're going to be scrambling for money throughout your financial career, because now that you have 60% of debt, now you have to pay everybody else, including the loan as well. And that doesn't work out from the lender's perspective, because then your loan would just go into default and they're not sure if you're going to be able to pay it back. And that also hurts you, because now your credit score has decreased or fallen, because of you have fallen delinquent on or fallen into default. So basically what I need you to do is to stay between that 36 to 43%.
Yo, I got a question from Twitter, though. I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to get this in, because this is actually a really good question. Let's say if you are married. Well, let me just read verbatimly. If you are married and God forbid, something happens to your spouse, are you inquiring the debt to income ratio of your spouse, or does it go away?
It does not go. All right, so there's two ways to answer this question. If you acquire your spouse's assets, liabilities, and or debt, yes, it applies to you. So, like, say if you took over, say, because your spouse passed away, and now you acquired this home, and you still got to pay back that loan on the mortgage, yes, you have acquired that debt-to-income ratio. Say if you have acquired a car note, you acquired that debt-to-income ratio. But say if the car was already paid for out of pocket and you acquired the car, you don't have any debt to acquire. And it's the same with the house. Say if the house was already paid for and there's nothing else to pay on the house but the taxes, then you do not acquire the debt-to-income ratio. If the medical expenses, so say if your spouse died because you have a huge or bad car accident, and now you're up to your armpits and medical expenses, you have acquired that debt-to-income ratio. So somebody has to pay back the hospital, and I'm not sure if your marriage is split up for everything is half and half, you have acquired that debt-to-income ratio.
All right, now I got a question for myself, because as you just broke this down, and I want to make sure that this is actual factuals too, because now my mind is thinking, right? So let's just say, right, when your spouse does, or anything does happen to your spouse, and, you know, your spouse does go under or anything like that, right? Let's just say your spouse doesn't necessarily have life insurance or something like that. Would that now, because you got to take out a loan and everything like that for, you know, yourself to be able to prepare for the funeral arrangements and everything like that, and you take out a loan for that, does that now add to your debt to income ratio, or does that add to your deceased spouse debt to income ratio because you took it out for him?
Once you 6 feet under, baby, you have no more debt.
Could you still take out a policy under their social and things like that so you can get it? Like, how does that work? I'm not saying you know that information. I want to know. Huh?
It rolls over to the next person. And literally, it's the next person's responsibility. One of my coworkers had this, that his father had passed with no life insurance, and now he had to take out this huge loan just to be able to afford a funeral. So this raises, your question has raised two important things that we as a people need to do. One, as a millennial, if you're 18 or over and above, you should have a life insurance policy.
Agreed.
Man, stress that. Even for your kids, you need a life insurance policy for your kids, because if your kid died today or the next minute, somebody needs to pay for it, and you don't have the money out of pocket right now because you listen to Tab Money Habits to pay for it straight out your pocket.
All right. I wanted to know that, though. Definitely. But you got to understand, those are definitely really expensive. If your job not paying for it, half of us don't even get insurance to be thinking about a life insurance policy. So you got to take it one step at a time with our generation, my opinion. Because we've definitely been thrown in the woods.
I agree. And I was just even thinking about this question to myself, like, how can you be an entrepreneur and you don't have your individual IRA? So a lot of millennials are becoming entrepreneurs, and we want to do our own thing, but you got to make sure yourself is set up for the future. You don't want it just to be an entrepreneur in 2017. You want it to be an entrepreneur in 2027, 2037 as well. So you need to plant these seeds. Again, like how you asked me, are you planting seeds? I'm telling you, we plant seeds every day. You got to plant these seeds every day. It's like you don't stop. You always want to harvest. You always want to eat, right? So we got to plant these seeds every day. They're not going to plant themselves. So if you want to save your butt and when you're 60, 70, if you want to save your kids' butt for having to put themselves, increase their debt-to-income ratio because you were fraudulent, you were lazy, you were uneducated or ignorant to a life insurance policy, then, I mean, you 6 feet under, so you really can't take no responsibilities at this moment or that moment. But, yeah, just know you have some, you have contributed to that person's or whoever you leaving your assets to or whoever your loved ones or your family is. You're increasing their debt-to-income ratio because you were negligent. And, again, I'm telling you, millennials now, if you start now with your policy, the same way if you start now with your IRA, just putting $10 a month into a policy or put $10 a month into an IRA, by the time we are older, 30 from, years from now, 40 years from now, we're going to be set. We won't have to worry about nothing.
Time
and
money.
Think about the insurance. And think about it, like, when I get deep into these tab money habits and go into what kinds of insurance policies. So, like, if you were to do a cashback insurance policy, you can borrow against it. So you now you don't have to go to the bank to get that mortgage loan. You can go to your insurance policy and say, I want to borrow against my insurance policy to be able to buy a house, to be able to buy a business, to be able to be a venture capitalist. So certain things we got to know that when we put these things in place, we can borrow it. You can borrow money from yourself. You don't necessarily have to go to a bank.
And that's the best feeling in the world when you can borrow money from yourself. That's the best feeling in the world.
And that's why we get, can I get back into today's topic? If y'all don't mind about the debt to income ratio, because the whole point of today's lesson with the family savings is to be able to create your own bank within your family. Create a banking system within your family. So, any more questions for the debt to income ratio before I dive into that? Because I really do want to talk about that shortly before we get off today.
Start swimming.
Like I said, the holidays is coming up, and I know if you can go out there and stand in line for $200 worth of Jordans or Michael Kors or whatever, Target, all this, et cetera, BS. I know you can put in $50 or $200 or $300 so we can get this family savings club popping.
Dive in, man. Start swimming.
All right. So I'm calling it basically a family savings. You can name it anything that you want from your family. But again, it just takes two or more people. So whether it's you, your brother, you, your mom, you, your dad, whoever, you and a cousin, you and grandma, it doesn't matter. I need each of you to put a set amount of money in, and I also need you to determine a schedule. So, for example, with the Peterson Financial Group, which is me and PLC Family Savings Club is called, what we do is that we put $50 a month into a pot. And we also, amongst our family, we have designated a treasurer, designated secretary. So what the treasurer would do, what the treasurer will hold the money. The secretary would keep records of how much each person has paid per month and their contribution.
And we got everybody on a contract.
We got everybody on a contract, so you know that you're participating, you're putting your money in here. So when it comes down to payout, we know how much each person is getting. So there's two ways that we can do this. The original way how the Peterson PFG, the Peterson Financial Group, we're doing it, we're not accruing interest if somebody wants a loan come to payout. So there's the contributions or the payouts, how it goes. So the payout is if you have a schedule that each person is contributing $100 for a month for 10 months, at that payout, you will receive $1,000. So that's pretty much how the bank is. Every month you'll deposit your check, you'll deposit some money, and the bank just stores your money. And when it's time for you to withdraw, you can go to the bank and withdraw if you need the money. If not, that's you can come to the bank and you'll just have your thing. Going to an actual bank who uses your money. You deposit your money into the bank and they use it for something else. And then now they owe you. So if the bank was to shut down today, or if the stock market was to crash today, would the bank actually be able to give us our money if we go to the bank and be like, yo, I'm going to take all my cash out today?
Heck no. Look at the people in Puerto Rico. Heck no. Look at people in Puerto Rico.
And the answer is no. But if we go to the treasurer of our family and be like, yo, I'm trying to make a withdrawal, give me all my money now, you are able to obtain that money if we are in an emergency situation such as Puerto Rico or if the stock market crashed. So that's the basic concept of it. Literally, this is to be able to acquire that money and create a banking system within your family. Taking it to the next level is that, say, if an emergency comes out and your cousin got evicted from their home or their car got broke down and they need $3,000 to do whatever, to fix a roof. So then they will go to the treasurer and ask the treasurer, yo, can I take a loan from the banking system, a $3,000 loan from the banking system to be able to fix my roof? Then the way, depending on how your contract is set up, however you want it for your family, for our family, we're going to do example, because I don't even think we got loans set up, but for example, we're going to say that this cut, well, everybody who needs a loan has to pay 3% interest back on this loan, so that way this bank is now accruing money on top of what we're actually contributing every month. And that's how banks are making money on us as well. So this is a way for our family to make our family savings. So now this person needs a loan, $3,000. They're going to pay a 3% interest on it, however long we say they need to pay it back, whether it's 6 months, a year, two months, 2 years, depending on your contract. And then that 3% interest will go back to the bank, and it will sit in the kitty and wait for the next person who needs to make a loan. And then the advantages or the benefits of a family saving club, it's good for an unmotivated saver. So if you have a hard time saving or you're really lazy, like, I don't know if I really want to save, you're not getting a direct deposit check. You're getting a commission check. Your check varies week to week or bi-weekly to bi-weekly. Or you're an entrepreneur and you don't really know when your next check is coming in. Doing a family savings club kind of forces you to save because now you know you have to put in money every week. On a certain day, like in our contract, we say that on the 15th of every month, we're going to have a family dinner. And at this family dinner, we're going to bring $50 to put in a month. I know I have, at the end of every month and the beginning of every month, I know I have to get $50 so I can be able to put into this family savings club. And my family holds me accountable. So that's why it's kind of a great way to get an unmotivated saver to participate. Another benefit for those, for this concept of family savings club, is it's good for people who don't trust banks. And going back to the Puerto Rico scenario, going back to when the stock market crashed a couple of times, and I'll, not in my lifetime, but over the course of history, if you don't trust the bank, a good way to save your money responsibly is just through a family savings club. I'm trying to tell you, it's very important.
It's important.
Say it one more time.
I'm saying that's important. Like, I'm stressing the fact that this is extremely, extremely important for you to understand that, you know, having a family bank is the next way to go. Honestly, truly, it's the only way to go. Cause like how Tad was saying, like, when it comes down to the stock market crashing or the banks not being open or anything of an emergency situation where you actually need emergency funds, like cash, like liquid asset, having a family bank is the way to go. And that's why we created that in our family, so we can know that, you know, our generation and generation will be fine. Like, we're not going to set ourselves up for failure. And understanding that having a family bank is the way to multiply your money, a way to multiply the property, a way to multiply your assets, a way to multiply your stock increase. Like, it's so many different things that you can do with a family bank that you cannot just do with having your own bank account at a commercial bank such as Wells Fargo or Bank of America, because your family is not going to charge you overdraft fees. Your family is not going to charge you, you know, ATM fees. Your family is not going to charge you for the little things that bank, just to hold your money. You know what I'm saying? Like, banks actually charge you now to put your money in the bank. Picture that. Like, picture putting your money in a bank and being charged for that. But picture having
they
a family bank.
Money somehow. And that's,
exactly.
And that's
exactly.
Banks make money. They make money off of fees They make money off of your transactions. They make money off of your money to sit in.
Yeah, exactly. Bank. They're making money off of your money.
All it is a storage place. You act like in a traditional check in a savings account, you're not really acquiring enough interest to be like, yeah, my money is making money while I sleep, sitting in the bank. No, you're making literally pennies. I look at my bank and I see dividends and I see change, like less than 50 cents going in. And I'm like, yeah, that's how.
And then the whole spin on the dough tab, picture this, the whole spin on it for anyone to even get a bank account that will inquire interest, it has to be a specific bank account. Like it has to be a certain kind of bank account that you set up for them and set up with them in order for them to kind of feed your money. So it's not like you're just going and say, hey, my name is X, Y, and Z, and I just want to open a bank account. They're not going to offer you that unless you have money to offer them. You also have to think about it. Banks are strategically designed to make money off of your money. So you go to work, you get compensated, and then also you're getting taxed by your bank for putting your money in that bank. So it's so many different things that you have to think about when it comes to family banking. It's not just like, oh, you want to, you know, want to make sure that your family has some kind of bank, you know, your family has some kind of money just in case anything happens. It's so much bigger than that, so much more to it. And I'm definitely, shout out to you, Tad, for bringing this up, because you got me ready. Like, definitely shout out to bring this up, because people don't even understand
it's
that.
Tis the season, man. It's that season. We got to get ready, because if we don't get educated before, like, I was even trying to strategize. I was like, yeah, I can wait to like closer to get to Black Friday or closer to Christmas. But I'm like, if I wait until that season, y'all already in the headspace.
I'm about to say, y'all shopping now.
Yeah, y'all not going to listen if y'all already in the space. Like, ooh, I already know I'm about to get this. I'm about to get this person now. You're not going to be like, all right, I listen to Tab on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm not going to shopping. That doesn't work like that. So I was like, yeah, I catch you. I like proactive versus reactive. So I try to catch out early, you know. And then the last benefit, just jumping right into it, is just to creating financial literacy in the community. And that's what we're doing right now on Revive. Because, you know, Revive is alive. We're creating that financial literacy in the community. And that's what I need you to do in your family. And then you already know, I'm going to bring it back to one of my questions of the day, is where is wealth discussed in the, what time or when is wealth discussed at the family inside the dinner table? So, and that's another reason why the PFG, Peterson Financial Group, we meet once a month and have dinner, and we come together and donate to our family savings club. So I need y'all to be at the dinner table talking amongst your family about financial literacy. I need everyone down to 3-year-old, if they know any Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, Amigos, they gotta know financial literacy. It's like, it's just not that cool for them just to be out here quoting stuff at 3 and they don't know money.
And then it also changes things, though. I think also think that it changes in the culture tab, because we do got to wrap up here to get to the next guest. But I want to make this point before we do. It also changes the culture in your family environment. So when you guys do get to those family engagements, such as Christmas and Thanksgiving, you're not even talking about what you're used to talk about. You're talking about a completely different subject. Your communication, how you communicate, the dialogue, all of that is completely different now, because you're about your business. It becomes a business entity inside of your family. Like, let's think about what the Waltons are talking about. You know, let's think about what Microsoft is talking about. Let's think about what Bill Gates' family is talking about. Let's think about what Warren Buffett family is talking about when they sit down at these dinner tables. So it changes the perspective of the conversation. So it challenges you to say, you know what? We're not about to buy all 12 of each other gifts this Christmas. What we're going to do is we're going to put a name in a basket. Exactly. We're going to put a name in a basket and we're going to pull one out. Exactly.
Try and buy some gifts.
12 gifts.
Like, and go get into the free gifts. We're going back to our original conversation, like being of service to someone, doing something. You can Google free gifts and make it creative. You can make it fun. You don't necessarily have to go out and spend money just to show someone you love them, like, or you appreciate them. And literally, you can be of service. It's free. Hugs and ears are free. all people really need is a hug and need you to listen if you want to get to the meat of it.
Exactly.
And before I wrap up, I'm just going to break it down again to give you the overview of the Family Savings Club, because I really want y'all to start this in 2017. We don't want to wait till 2018. We want to plant these seeds today. Is that I want you to get together with two or more people in your family. And then you to figure out how much you're going to put in and what schedule. So is it going to be weekly, bi-weekly? Is it going to be monthly? And I need you to stick to it. Write up a contract or an agreement and say, I'm going to do this. Sign it and date it and stick to it and be consistent. Please be consistent. And then the only downside to the family savings account is that it's no interest, which is similar to your bank, and lump sum savings encourages a lump sum spending. So kind of have goals in mind for what you want to spend this savings on. Don't just be like, oh, it's my turn to get a payout. I just got $10,000. I'm about to go buy some gold, or I'm about to go buy some jewels or some red bottoms.
Just put it right back in. The smart person would just put it right back in.
You put it right back in, or go buy you a house, or go put that money in an IRA, or go put that money in something that's going to bring you an investment.
Definitely.
The downside is that you get what you put back in. So that's in life right there. That's the law of attraction. You get back what you put in. It's simple. Law of attraction. Go ahead, Google that joint as well. That's the law of the universe. You get back what you put in. So if you put in 100% effort, you're going to get 100% effort back. So that means if you put in $100 for each month for 10 months, you're going to get that $1,000 back. And literally, that's it. And I need you to just focus on, even with these seeds, no matter what seeds you're planting every day, you get back what you put in.
Definitely. Shout out to my man, Tab Money. And if you learn anything from Tab Money today, one gem that I'm definitely going to take away that I did not know is if you are in the 37 to 43% of income to debt to income ratio, you are going to be qualified for a home, for a house. So definitely think about that when you guys are out here spending, and think about the future of what you're trying to obtain for your family and things like that. So definitely think about that. 43%, between 37 and 43%. Think about that. Yo, Tab, tell the people where they can find you. Tell the people that website again so they can cop this Revive gear. Shout out to my boy Drew for calling in and winning this free Revive gear tonight. Yo, Chad, go ahead and give yourself a shout out.
Hey, all I'm going to say is that based on what you just learned today, I'm super excited for the next segment, because I'm going to show y'all some tips on how to get this debt down. Like how on your credit score, I'm not saying in real life, like I'm going to show you how to get more money so you can pay your bills. Nah, but I'm going to show you how to get these tips so we create this facade to say, yo, my debt to income ratio look like this and I still need a house regardless of how much debt I got. So I'm going to just say shout out to CBE, shout out to Revive, we alive.
Russell Brand.
Lifestyle.com. Click that shop button and get you some free Russell Brand. Not free. Only you call in for free gear. Get you some of that Russell Brand gear, that Revive gear. You know, support. Show some support. I love our supporters. We're getting supporters from all over. It's crazy. I'm loving it. And if you have Revive gear or Russell Brand gear, just know it's one of a kind. There's no two that's alike. So feel special. Hit me up, cbelifestyle.com, click shop.
Definitely, and definitely tag us in your post. If you do got some Russell Brand Revive gear, CBE gear, tag us in your post when you take your beautiful picture. Tag us like that. Go ahead and tag us at Revive_POC or Tab Money. Make sure you guys go do that. Shout out to your girl, Tab Money. She be on Revive Live each and every second and fourth Wednesday of the month. Yo, Tab, you're a blessing, man. Keep educating these people out here. We appreciate you. Peace. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We got the homies from Charlotte, North Carolina coming up, man. I ain't talked to them in a minute. I know they got some gems for us tonight, too. They got a couple events coming up, and they're going to be dropping some interesting news for you to win something tonight. We got a lot of winners tonight, so make sure you guys give us a call. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. It's me, your girl, POC. I'm blessing your airways at 10 p.m. tonight. Stay tuned.
Everyone is sorry. Everyone says, I won't do it again. Bottom line, drinking under the age of 21 is illegal. Drinking and driving is illegal. It's the law. There are consequences. The consequences of driving under the influence are huge. You will do community service, lose your driver's license, get arrested, do jail time. If you get arrested for DUI, the costs to defend yourself are very expensive. Your parents can be forced to pay for lawsuits, legal fees, and damage to people or property. DUI can also ruin your chances to get into college or get a good job. The law doesn't stop at drinking and driving. If you're underage, there are consequences for buying alcohol with a fake ID, for being in possession of alcohol, and for any consumption of alcohol. Think twice. Don't drink. Don't drink and drive. Speak up. Sexting is sharing sexually suggestive content, videos, or photos using any form of electronic communication. Text messaging, instant messaging, email, social media. Sending a single sext can create a long list of problems. Digital information can last forever. That private sext is no longer private. Your classmates can see it. Your teachers can see it. Your family can see it. Sexual predators could see it. Anybody can see it. Sexting will embarrass and humiliate you. Violate school policies. It could get you expelled. Ruin your reputation. Make you a target for bullies. Unfortunately, the damage you can sustain from sexting does not stop there. Sexting is a crime. Minors who send, receive, and forward sext messages will find themselves facing criminal charges. You'll be surprised by how quickly sexting goes from a misdemeanor to a felony, which sends you to jail for more than a year. Here's our point. Sexting is simply not worth the trouble it can cause you. Play it smart from the start. Don't share photos or videos you wouldn't want others to see. Don't give in to pressure. If you receive suggestive comments or images, don't respond or forward them to anyone. Instead, speak up and tell someone, a teacher, parent, or contact the police. Stay away from websites that post suggestive comments or images. If you are directed to one, leave it immediately. Be careful with people you meet online, especially those you don't know personally. Remember, sexting is a crime. It only takes a single sext to create problems that can follow you for the rest of your life. So be smart. Don't sext. Speak up.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC.
Yes, 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 yes. We are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, it's me, your girl, POC. I'm blessing your airways up until 10 p.m. tonight. Each and every Wednesday, I come on from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. here on Time for an Awakening. And you can catch me live on the Sunday edition of Revive each and every Sunday at 11 a.m. That Good Morning Talk Radio. Wake up, wake up, wake up with me, your girl, POC. This Sunday, we're going to be having your boy Keith Taylor on the line with TLS Politics. You already know how we're going to get it in. And Donald Trump went out here wilding this week. So you already know we got something to say. All this stuff going on, people getting locked up, everything, man. We got to talk about this American government this Sunday. But yes, we about to get into it with our next guest, hailing all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. Man, I love these people. They always show Revive so much love every time they come on the show. Shout out to my man Khadijah. I really, really do appreciate her each and every time. But we about to jump into your true art. Who we got coming on the Revive platform?
Next up on the Revive platform, we have Khadijah Wale Uhud. Khadija is a successful businesswoman and the CEO of Jazz Underground International, a nonprofit organization. She endeavors to change the music world forever by opening the doors for independent artists. Khadija operates from the underground and creating her own legacy by advocating for domestic violence. She is also joined on the line by Osiris Yates. Welcome to the Revive platform.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
No problem. What's up, Khadija? How are you?
We are blessed and favored.
Man, I'm excited to be talking with you. Khadija, you show us so much love here on Revive, man. We appreciate everything that you do for your community down there in North Carolina. You are somebody who truly loves what you do, and that's why I respect you so heartily. What do you guys have coming up lately, coming up in the future?
Well, we have several things. We have that's why I brought Osiris Yates on, my business partner. He's going to be
speaking.
How's it going? Hey, Osiris, how are you feeling tonight? Welcome to Revive.
Oh, man, I'm blessed. I'm glad I'm 6 feet and above. No complaints from my end.
I feel you on that one. Definitely, I feel you on that one. So could you
We're working on our first annual book expo where we have a lot of different authors coming on board. And we have Rutina Hogue, who is signed with Chuck D's label. She has a book. She's a first-time author.
Awesome.
For The Invisible Daughter. That's another lady that we definitely have to have on the show. And Osiris wanted to partner with me on some things because he, and he can speak about what he does, but he's a dynamic person to help you grow your business. And it could be anything. So he has a great platform for marketing books, to get authors to sell more of their books that they've ever would imagine of selling. So that's why I wanted to partner with him, because he has the dynamic strategy to make that successful for us.
Awesome. When you think of a book expo, though, like when you think of a book expo, what should you be expecting? Are you thinking about like walking into a silent library? Are you walking into a networking environment? Like, what do you think about as you're walking into a book expo? Break that down for us. Khadija?
Oh, sorry about that. Well, that's a lot. Great question. Well, in regards, I thought that's what I was speaking. Sorry about that. But in regards, it's a great question. But a lot of people are going to learn at the book expo, just regular, you know, information, of course. They get a network. They get the opportunity to really, you know, figure out, you know, who are the who's who in the community and who are the people who are actually engaging in books. And, you know, what the authors are really going to be able to learn more so is, you know, how to discover, you know, how to do a book launch that can make you four figures in over, you know, in one day, mm-hmm. right? You know, some people are going to be able to learn some secrets, you know, that I've been using with a lot of my author clients that have helped them triple their revenue, you know, overnight, you know, just by, you know, doing a pre-order strategy, you know, with their books. So these are a couple of things that they'll be able to learn, you know, at the book expo. We're super excited. We got a lot of great people going to be there, a lot of great vendors, a lot of wonderful sponsors, great facility, great authors. So Khadija, I mean, you put this event on, so I have to give kudos to you. You know, you're a superstar at the end of the day. I'm just here to help. You know, I'm just here to help.
And that's why we work so well together, because what we have is a great match to help other, just people in general, from their personal and their business aspect, just to be better entrepreneurs, be better, just learn how to market, just know how to do it right so you don't reinvent the wheel. Just use what works for each person. And he does it in a customized way to where it fits for everyone. And yep. We're going to be able to promote literacy. We want young people to read more, write more. So it's a good platform for everybody, adults and young people.
Definitely. I'm with you on that one, because everybody needs to read, man. Everybody needs to read. Don't matter what age you are, you definitely need to pick up a book and put that social media down. And that's what I'm about to ask you now, Osiris. Like, do you see social media and like the internet, you know, because now you have ebooks, you have the Amazon tablet designed just for books. Like, do you see that taking over the actual hard copy edition of selling books and things like that? Do you see that that's transforming the way that people are selling books and launching their books in different ways?
No, I feel that, you know, books are going to be selling forever, honestly. I mean, look how many editions of the Bible we have.
Good one.
So when you put that into perspective, you know, that book's been selling for forever, right? So, and all the other different, you know, books that are out there, you know, in that same kind of, you know, space. And, you know, I think that, you know, what's going to happen is too many people are going to fall in the trap of choosing ebooks over hard copy books. And it's going to be hard for them to get out, because they're going to lose a lot of money on royalties because they're not making themselves a destination.
Good one.
Thing that's going to be created is that people are not going to be able to, they're not going to realize the value, pardon me, in making their self, making their brand, making their book title a destination online that people have to go to be able to get the true value. Yes, you can get the sizzle on Amazon, but if you want the steak, you got to come to my destination. Right?
And, you know,
to give you
that.
An example, you know, just look at Southwest Airlines, right? They're one of the only airlines that you cannot book their flight anywhere else but on their website, right? You cannot book a Southwest airline and get access to 2 carry-on bags for free unless you go to their website whatsoever. I don't get any money from Southwest whatsoever. I'm just saying this based off of, you know, explaining to people that the value is in you being the destination, not utilizing these platforms as your destination.
That was a good one. You just taught me something, so I know you taught the listener something. So what about, like, when it comes to promoting their book, would you say that they should still use the social media route to promote their books, or do you think it should be boots on the ground when it comes to promoting the book?
I think that, you know, definitely you should use social media, because at the end of the day, always use social media. Use all outlets possible that are, you know, mediums, I call them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are all mediums that allow you to stay in front of your audience, to stay in front of the right audience, right? So, you know, if as long as you're in front of the right audience, be there, but make sure that you direct them to your destination. You don't give them everything on, you know, these platforms where you are, you know, distributing, right? Those mediums are just there for sizzles. That's the purpose of them. They're there to drive traffic. Use them as traffic drivers. And make sure you put content and information out there to drive the traffic, because the two ways to outmarket anyone in any business, right, in any industry, to outmarket your competition in any industry, it's only two things you really need to do: create great content and collect data. So as long as you collect data and you create great content, you create the great content for the social platforms to entertain people, and then you drive people to your destination, which allows you to collect data that you're then able to leverage. You know, you want to be like Instagram. Instagram sold for $1 billion and made no revenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were the destination. They drove traffic to their place of business, and people engaged, and then they were able to sell for $1 billion. But none of us that use Instagram made a dollar.
Not even a brown penny. Not even a brown penny, Osiris. I'm fully on that one. I love what you're coming through with, man. Your energy is amazing, definitely. But my question, though, Osiris, is like, you know, we're millennials, right? So we're moving, we're shaking, we're trying to do 1,000 things with the 24 hours we're blessed to see, right? How do you get a millennial to sit down and actually read a hard copy of a book? Like, how do you get someone, you know, from the younger generation to actually sit down to say, you know what, I'm about to sit down and read this 25 chapter book?
Well, you put different value. You put value in different in the hard copy. You put a different type of value in the soft copy, on the online version, right? So if you're buying the book digital, you're gonna get a different type of experience, right? And if you buy the, you know, same way, like if you buy a ticket to go on a flight online, if you buy it on the website, it's one way. You buy it, you know, on the phone, it's a different way. You go and buy it at the actual airport, it's another way, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all different type of experiences as a customer. So, you know, an online, you know, process could have a different experience, and then your hard copy have a different experience that has more value that drives them back to online, right? So that's a strategy that we use a lot with all of our, you know, authors that have hard copies, is that we drive, you know, people to bonuses where they can have video trainings or videos or things of that nature that keep them engaged and keep their attention going, which make them want to be reading the hard copy.
That's a good one. That's a good one. We actually just got a great question on Twitter, too. Someone on Twitter reached out and say, I'm an aspiring author, and I just want to know, like, how do you develop a pricing for your book? Like, how do you come up with the pricing strategies for your book?
I think the best way is to research, and depends on the nature of the book as well, the pages. But if you research and see other books not similar to yours, but kind of like how you want to set yours up, gives you a better idea of what the price should go for. And that's what one of the ladies that I'm booking for, that's what she did. She went online and was just researching because she didn't know. So you don't want it to be overpriced to where people's not going to buy your book. And you don't want to underprice it to where, you know, the money that you put into your book, you got to take that in consideration too as factors. Is how much money is it going to cost for distribution? How much money is it going to cost to get it printed? You have to take all of that to figure out what that bottom line is and what the lowest that you actually would have that book sell for. But then you also have to take in consideration the demand level of books nowadays.
Well, that's true. That's true. And if I could add to that, Khadijah, you know, something that's very big, you know, with pricing is, you know, think about where you directing them to. I feel like too many times most authors come out with a book and they have, you know, all this great content. The book is awesome. But after they paid their whatever it is that you priced them at, you're not sending them anywhere where you make more money. What's the upsell? What's the, do you have fries or do you want fries with that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, that's what I feel most authors miss. So, yeah, if you price your book at $2, but if you have a program that you're directing them to that's a reoccurring program that you're going to make $10 a month off of and say a certain percentage of all those readers actually go into that program, now that $2 a book may have been valuable. But, you know, if you're not, maybe it'd have been valuable at 20. Who knows, right? But you just have to always think about what is the added value on the follow-up.
Cyrus, you on it right now, man. You got me thinking like, yo, people out here just out here writing books, writing ebooks, and turning their blogs into different books. And it's like, they don't got no fries with that. You know what I'm saying? They don't got nothing to add. Can I supersize that? They don't have anything to add to that. So I love that analogy you just kicked out. So would you recommend people self-publishing books, or would you recommend that people who are just starting with their first novel that they should go get a publishing or jump out there with a publishing company?
Khadijah, what's your thought on that? I'll let you answer that question.
I guess I'm always about self-promoting yourself. I'm all about self-perseverance. But realistically, we have to see what's going to be to the betterment of getting the book sold. So cost efficiency, see how much it costs to get it published by someone else. But also do the research and see if you can actually, you know, figure it out on how to do it yourself. I always promote that first, because we're all about saving money in the times that we live in. We can learn how to do it ourselves. It's best to go that route. And then, you know, reach out to other authors to see, you know, get advice on who is the best publisher out there. Because not everybody that publishes books is someone that you want publishing your book.
Right.
So we want to reach out to someone that you might know, or, you know, other mentors that maybe made mistakes. You don't want to make their mistake. You don't want to make really any mistakes. But if you can learn the best way to do it by asking questions. You know, my mother would always say, closed mouth don't get fed. If you don't ask questions, you're not going to know. So it's always good just to ask someone who is a successful writer, successful author. See how maybe they self-publish it can give you some pointers. So that way you can save some money.
That's facts.
And something to add to that is that, you know, you go for a coach, right? All the best authors have coaches, right? I'll give an example. Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, they sold over 500 million copies of their book. They got turned down 140-something times, if I'm not mistaken, in regards to getting published, and they did get published, but their whole publishing deal was that they had to fund their first batch of books. So, and because they didn't expect them to make any money, right? But the book, like I just said, sold 500 million copies, but all they did was sell other people's stories. So, you know, I say that to say, you know, you can self-publish if you know what it is that what your why is. Put it like that. If you know your why, self-publish, right? And if it's something that, you know, you're just doing it for your brand, and if it's for like a promotional reason, you know, self-publish it. If it's something that you don't plan on really putting a lot of copies out there and you don't plan on selling a lot, don't go through the hassle of getting published to make nothing, to give away all your intellectual property to a publisher, right?
So is that what you were saying about the royalties? Was that what you were saying about the royalties? Like, you know how people who do music, when they go get, you know, a record label, they have ties to their royalty now because they signed with the record deal. So are you saying that, well, my question to you is, once you go get a publisher, are you signing over some of your royalties to your book, though?
Yes, you are. You're signing over some of your royalties. Even when you do it with Amazon, even when you use CreateSpace, you're giving away some of your royalties.
Okay.
Right? Even when you go through Kindle, right? I mean, it's all the same thing. You give away royalties. But if you actually, that goes right back to what I was just saying earlier. If you are the person with the value and you're driving the value to your destination, which is just something that you own digitally online, i.e. your own website, right? The name of your book needs to be a domain name, right? If you own that destination and you're driving people to that destination, right? you are going to be able to monetize that directly, and you don't need any of those publishers. That's really self-publishing. See, that's the problem. Most people think they self-publish when they're on Amazon. That's not so. You're kind of self-published. You still got Amazon helping you distribute.
Facts.
So you're not really self-published. You self-publish when you have people going right to your own domain that you own and you control, and then you're putting, you know, your own advertisers on your own website through Google Ads, and you're monetizing it that way through your traffic.
That's facts right there. That's super facts. So then, like, what about for, like, bloggers? Like, would you consider a blogger an author because they're still publishing some written work? Would you consider, do you guys consider bloggers authors?
What was your question again?
Do you still consider, what would you consider bloggers as authors because they're publishing, you know, written work? Like, would you consider them as authors?
I think anyone that writes in general that have other people reading their information is considered an author. It could be a poet, could be an author, because okay. It's written material.
What about you, Osiris?
I think that everyone really is an author that is on the planet. You know, every single one of us have a book in us. Every person listening to this right now, if you're not an author yet, you have a book in you. Your life is a book. You are a story. And, you know, you have a connection to someone else on this planet. So no matter what it is you do, you know, if you don't know how to write, you can speak. And if you don't know how to speak, you can write, right? And if you don't know how to write nor speak, you can, I don't know, you can just be on a video, right, and do motions. If you want to, and you can explain yourself in a sign language, form, if that's something that you're doing. It's just so many ways that we could write and express ourselves through saying something. And I always tell people, you know, writing a book nowadays is becoming very easy. When you could just talk like we're talking right now, right? And mm-hmm. you can transcribe this whole entire, you know, radio episode, and then you're able to pretty much put this in a form of a book. You can transcribe this, have everything edited, and then you can put this in a book and you can sell this tomorrow if you wanted to.
Dope. Fact. I see you, right? Osiris.
This becomes a subscription of a magazine, of a digital magazine. Now you take every single episode from your radio station, you turn it into a transcribed digital copy, you know, or hard copy, and it becomes a subscribed piece of content that you're able to put out there to the marketplace and to help expand your brand.
I'm with you on that one. That's facts. But at the same time, Osiris, we got to, like, still tell the people that it's quality over quantity. You know what I'm saying? Because some people just be putting Absolutely. Anything out, you know what I'm saying, and thinking because they're multiplying it times 10, they're out here putting out some quality work. No. So definitely what you just said is facts. But I don't want people who listen to just go out here and start putting things out.
You're
and
right.
think they're,
You're so
you know
right.
what I mean? They You're self-proclaimed right. authors. Like, nah, it don't work right. like that. And us as millennials, we so popcorn. You know what I'm saying? We so popcorn. So we think everything happens overnight, but 9 times out of 10, your best authors was in the lab with the lights off, getting it in. You know what I'm saying? Some of the best works comes in the dark. You know, I feel like every great seed was planted in the dark, and some people don't understand that. So I definitely just wanted to make that comment, but I do want to jump a little bit back into this expo though. So who else is going to be at the expo instead, other than artists? I mean, I'm sorry, authors. Are you guys going to have any artists? Are you guys going to have any vendors? Like, what else should people be expecting at your expo?
We have vendors. We have a jewelry vendor, Mona Wesley with Paparazzi. She's selling jewelry. And actually, all her jewelry is $5. So it's just Ooh. A steal to have her there. And just her energy is just so dynamic to where you would want to buy her jewelry. And working on some more sponsors. I wanted to have some artists, but I wanted to really just focus on authors. So we only have 2 hours to do the expo. It's from 6 to 8. And having Osiris speak and what he has to speak about is going to really be something that everyone wants to pay attention to. So I didn't want to take away from what he has to say, because everyone's going to be able to learn and take whatever he says into developing improvement for their platform, for their marketing, for their business and their book. So he's going to be speaking for about 40 minutes. And then the rest isn't, you know, focused on the authors having one-on-ones with their soon to be fans. So we didn't want to take away from that. So pretty much we're just going to have it, keep it simple, fresh, some refreshment, speaking, and then authors one-on-one be able to sell their books.
Are you guys having any authors from outside of the Charlotte, North Carolina area? Are you guys having anybody coming in from out of town to present their books for the expo?
not for this first one, but the next one we plan on having. Pretty much everyone within the surrounding North Carolina area is coming. We've got Lisa and Brian McNeil. They're dynamic motivational speakers, and they travel all over the world. They might have other people come in, but not as of yet. Doesn't mean that someone might not, you know, show up, you know, tomorrow, tonight, after this interview. But as of right now, we have everyone from North Carolina coming.
That's awesome. And you said, so not at this first one, but there is a next one. I love how you already speaking that into existence. Like, do you guys see yourself traveling with the expo, taking it to different cities, highlighting different cities, authors who are up and coming and things like that as well?
Yeah, we plan on doing this. Actually, that's what Osiris does. He actually does expos. And Osiris, you might want to chime in and explain the different types of expos that you do.
Yeah, definitely. We have an expo called the Ultimate Small Business Expo and Workshops. And, that's an expo that we've created, you know, to help business owners really be able to, you know, have a platform, you know, to really express, you know, what it is that they do for the community and how they add value to people who are in need for their solutions, right? I don't like to call it product and services. I like to call it solutions. So, you know, that's what we do. We have dynamic speakers that come out from, you know, all over, international speakers who do workshops. Keynote speakers that talk about marketing, talk about memorization, and talk about branding, and talk about, high level sales and how to close, you know, a $20,000 a month client, you know, things like that. And, if you want to check that out, just go to usbew.com. That's usbew.com. And we're likely going to be in five cities next year. And you can see the cities on the website on there as well. And if you want to be a speaker on there, just make sure you contact us. And, you know, we're looking for some more breakout room speakers and some vendors as well, too. So
I'm definitely going to be hitting your line, Osiris. You just plugged me all the way into the socket. I'm coming through. I'm definitely coming through. I would love to speak at one of your events. Definitely. Yo, so when it comes to your events and how you're moving it, how do you actually get the people in the seats at the expo? Like, how do you market an expo in order for people to get into the seats? Because when you think about, you know, a book expo, in my mind, some millennial minds, we might think like, oh, it's quiet, I can't go in there, you know, the way that I will be presenting myself, I have to come in there a different way. Like, is it a space, an open, safe space for everyone to enjoy?
Well, this expo that I'm putting together with Osiris, it's on a smaller scale compared to what he does, because he has a little bit more topics. This is just something that's for the public. Anybody can come. It's not like it's going to be quiet. It's pretty much to collaborate with other people as well. So it's more on a networking, grow your business, grow your clientele type of traffic that's coming through. So I wouldn't say it's going to be necessarily quiet. But it's just going to be very informative, and we want to pretty much create a platform where people can ask questions, have a Q&A, so they can better their brand. And that's pretty much what the purpose of this expo is about.
Awesome. I'm with that. And Khadija, today you were doing something for our listening audience as well, so I want you to go ahead and announce that too. I heard you had something for our listening audience today.
Well, Osiris probably is going to announce it, because it's actually, he's the one sponsoring a free vacation to one of our lucky winners. So Osiris, go ahead and take that one away.
Yes. Lucky listeners. I know we had a couple of winners earlier, but we still got some more people that could win some wonderful giveaways tonight. So if you text Book Expo, that's Book Expo, all one word, no space, Book Expo to 704-228-7383. That's Book Expo, BOOKEXPO, to 704-228-7383. You will automatically be entered into our vacation giveaway. It's a 3-day, 2-night vacation to the Wyndham Resorts. There's 15 different locations you can go to. And guess what, guys and gals? There is no timeshare pitch whatsoever. And some of the locations you have access to choose is Vegas, you know, you have Anaheim, Orlando, Atlantic City, Myrtle Beach, you have, you know, Palm Springs, I mean, a couple of different places you can choose from, Cancun. So, you know, make sure you guys text in Book Expo, all one word, to 704-228-7383 to be entered into the contest.
Yes, indeed. And make sure you guys go support that book expo going on in Charlottesville, North Carolina. I said Charlottesville, Charlotte, North Carolina. So you can go ahead and read some books while you're on that. So you can read some books while you're on that plane. Definitely, definitely, definitely get some good reason. Yo, I got a question for you too. I want to know your opinion. What is the hottest book out right now? Like, what is that one book we as millennials should go get right now in order to make, you know, our brands, our business, just our life in general, you know, a different headspace? How can we get a different headspace? What book would you two individually recommend for us?
If I was to say it, I would tell you guys and gals to listen. I mean, go read Michael Gerber's E-Myth book. Michael Gerber, E-Myth.
E-Myth.
So look that book up. That book will teach you how to build your business as a prototype and not build your business as a technician. Because a lot of people get stuck in their business, and this book covers, you know, how to really build your business as a franchise model so it's duplicatable. Opposed to, you know, getting stuck in your business and doing everything that you have to do in the day-to-day. So that's what I would say. That's my favorite book. I think every entrepreneur needs to read that. Every person thinking about business, read that book first. E-Myth, Michael Gerber.
I'm on my Googles right
now. And for me, I'm going to be a little prejudiced because my girl that I booked for, Retina Hogue, has her first book, The Invisible Daughter. That really helps people dealing with, who had to deal with bullying, had to deal with just parents, just abandonment issues, how she actually found love in music and how Chuck D actually took her from the pits of hell to bring her into the enlightenment to where she's able to express herself and transform into the butterfly that she is. That's why the book's called The Invisible Daughter.
Awesome.
So I'm not going to tell you much about it, but it's really on the emotional healing point on how you can transform your mind and transform your healing inside to where you can still become whom you're supposed to be. And I'm going to plug it again, The Invisible Daughter. You can find it on Amazon. Retina Hogue, H-O-G-U-E. Definitely, it's a good read.
I'm with you on that one, man. And it's on Amazon, you said, Khadijah?
Yeah, on Amazon and Kindle.
Perfect. I might go ahead and support her, definitely. I love what you're saying with that one, The Invisible Daughter, because we all find ourselves in that space, you know, especially trying to grow up and find ourselves and step into ourselves. We all try to find our space. So I'm with you on that one. That might be something that I need to go cop, definitely. But Osiris, before we let you go today, I need you to go ahead and tell the people how they can find you, your website, your social media, how they can get into these expos in the different cities you come to. How can the people meet up with you? We need to listen to you speak. So how can we find you?
To find me, you go to my website, OsirisYates.com. That's O-A-S-I-R-I-S, Yates, Y-A-T-E-S.com. And you can go check out all my, you know, testimonials, all my information there. If you want to book me to speak at any of your events, you can talk to Khadijah. She's one of my booking agents, and she's amazing. And if you need her to help
with
that, she does. So talk to her if you have any questions on that. And, you know, I look forward to possibly being back on the Revive platform, guys and gals. And also on Facebook, OsirisYates.com is my name. And Instagram is Right Brain Marketer. It's at Right Brain Marketer.
Definitely. Yo, Osiris, when you talk, because you dropped many gems today here on Revive, and you definitely got my attention. But when you talk, what is that one speaking point that you always, you know, resonate so people can just replay this back and forth in their subconscious mind? Like, what is that one speaking point that you always just make clear to the people that you're speaking to? What is that one talking point?
You know, right brain marketing, you know, how to really take your creative passions and turn it into profits. You know, that's one of my main topics, you know, and I love marketing Q&As. So that's one of my main topic points is, you know, I love doing Q&A and I'm live. You know, I do a live marketing audit for business owners where we bring them on the stage. We do a whole live audit on their business based off of the marketing standpoint. And we give them tips and strategies that they can implement and walk away with that's practical and not theoretical like most of these speakers out there. No jabs out there. Just saying.
I'm with you on that one. And Khadijah, we already know you got to go plug yourself, man. You are too awesome not to. Go ahead and plug yourself. Let the people know how they can, you know, get on your team so you can be booking them for different shows and things like that as well.
Well, you can Google me in the search engine. Just type in Jazz Underground. That's J-A-Z-Z-U-N-D-A Ground International. If you need a speaker, an artist, an EPK, you just need a paralegal, booking agent, that's me all in one. And you can hit me up. I'll put my digits out there. My business number is 619 356-1049. That's 619-356-1049. Again, Jazz Underground International, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it, I'm out there. And come join us at the Freedom Worship Center of Charlotte, November 17th from 6 o'clock in the evening to 8 p.m., the first annual book expo. We're going to be highlighting featured author Retina Ho, Chuck D's artist, amazing author, songwriter, you name it, she does it, MC. And we have Osiris Yates as our guest speaker to talk about the marketing. So please definitely go to my website. Just Google in Jazz Underground International. Definitely get your, if you want to register still for a vendor or get your ticket, please definitely support the cause.
Definitely go support that cause, man. Go cop that book right now. Go cop yourself a book right now at the Book Expo. Osiris, what were you about to say?
I didn't know I was about to say something.
Because I heard you. It was the energy, man. You came through with the energy, man. You came through. I was feeling your energy today.
Oh, man. Connected like Wi-Fi. Ain't that something? So listen, I was just going to tell everybody to text. Make sure you text Book Expo to 704-228-7383 if you want to be able to win that free 3-night to that vacation. And then if you guys don't end up texting, I'm just going to give it to Revive, and then they're going to keep it for themselves.
Already. Hey, thank you right there. That was that was a super plug, but we definitely went ahead and put that out on all our social medias. So somebody should be blowing you up in a quick second because we definitely went ahead and put that out. I appreciate both of you guys. Khadijah, thank you for nothing but the love you always show us here at Revive. And Osiris, you're definitely welcome to come back at any time. Definitely to support. We're here to support you because you supported us. We appreciate both of you. We wish you many, many blessings in your future endeavors. And I already know you guys are going to kill it with this book expo. Just keep it movement going. Keep the movement going. Thank you once again for supporting us.
And thank you for allowing us to be on your show.
No doubt, no
doubt. Thank you so much. Peace and blessings. Iron sharpens iron. Each one teach one.
Hey, good one. Man, Osiris had nothing but the energy tonight. Had nothing but the energy. That's how you want to go out each and every night. I appreciate him coming on and dropping gems, and always appreciate Khadijah for coming through and showing nothing but love. She shows love all year around. I appreciate that. So definitely shout out to the entire Charlotte, North Carolina for standing up each and every time here on Revive. We appreciate all the listeners, all the support. Make sure you go text that right now. Look us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Text that number right now. Text that number right now. Blow his phone up and definitely go to the Book Expo and cop yourself some books, man. People out here trying to give you guys the game. You just got to pick up a book in order to get the blueprint, man. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. We are live this Sunday at 11 a.m. Make sure you guys tune in for the morning edition of Revive, that good old morning radio. I'm trying to wake you guys up each and every day here on Revive, and you can catch us on Daily Ground Radio each and every Monday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure you guys go check us out. Click that link in my bio. You got your girl True Heart. Yo, True Heart, give yourself a shout out tonight.
You guys can go follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's at Higher Level Communication. And on Twitter, it's Higher Level Com. Higher Level C-O-M-M. Yeah, tune into Revive. Revive is alive.
You already know. And definitely shout out to the Revive team. You got your girl Harmony the Goddess and Tyler Avenia. And definitely shout out to Tab Money coming through with Tab Money Habits today, man. Between 37 and 43%. If you want to qualify for a home right now, all of us right now, we in our middle 20s. We like, yo, like, what's up? We need to buy that home. You need to be listening to Tab Money Habits each and every second and fourth Wednesday here on Revive. It's me, your girl POC. I'll be back on your airways blessing you this Sunday at 11 a.m. Shout outs once again to Khadijah, man. I'm just feeling her all the way. Shout out to Khadijah. I love the artist that she picks up, man. She's just out there doing a great job. I love her movement. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC.